I'm just going to have them put one scripture. I don't have a message today. This is the message. This is it. This is the message. Okay, so he has a message. He always does, but here it is. Put that scripture up, Ezekiel 47. It's not on YouVersion, so don't look it up. It's not there. I didn't put the notes in. I'm going to show you this is revival. Okay, I want you to pay close attention to this. If you've never read this chapter before, this scripture before, this is revival. I want you to watch carefully how it happens. Okay? Okay, so chapter 47, verse 1. In my vision, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door of the temple. Now that's important. Where is the stream coming from? Okay, and where is it flowing under? Beneath the door, beneath the door. You need to pay attention to this, because just think about this for a second. For a stream to go under a door, it must be a little stream. How many know what I'm saying? It must be a trickle, a little stream, right? It's coming from beneath the door of the temple and passing to the right of the altar on its south side. The man brought me outside to the wall, outside the wall through the north gate, and led me around to the eastern entrance. And there I could see the water flowing out through the south side of the east gate. Measuring as he went, he took me along the stream for 1,750 feet, 1,750 feet. That 1,750 feet is exactly 0.33 of a mile, okay? And he led me across, so he took me down 1,750 feet and led me across, and the water was up to my ankles. He measured off another 1,750 feet and led me across again, and this time the water was up to my knees. After another 1,750 feet, it was up to my waist, and then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to cross. I want to point something out. I want to go back and point something out. At first, it says here that it was a stream. Verse 1, there I saw a stream flowing east from beneath the door, a stream. But when you get down to verse 5, then he measured another 1,750 feet, and the river was too deep to cross. The river, somebody say the river, was too deep to cross. It was deep enough to swim in, but too deep to walk through. And he asked me, now here's very important scripture, verse 6, Ezekiel 47, 6. And he asked me, and I'm asking you, have you been watching, son of man? Have you been watching? Have you been paying attention, men and women of God? Have you been paying attention to what the Lord's doing? Then he led me back along the riverbank. So listen, as I'm about to read this, I want you to see what's happening. He walked out from the temple and he saw that stream coming under the door, and then he came around the gate and he saw the stream, and it was a little bit bigger, and they walked 1,750 feet and it was larger and it was up to his ankles, and then 1,750 feet and went back across and it was up to his knees, and then another 1,750 is up to his waist, and then another 1,750, and he couldn't walk across it because it was so deep. It went from this little tiny stream going under the door to this great big river. And this is when he said, have you been watching, son of man? Then he led me back along the riverbank, and when I returned, I was surprised by the sight of many trees growing on both sides of the river. Trees always, almost always in the Bible, represent people. Always. So many trees on both sides of the river. Then he said to me, this river flows east through the desert into the valley of the Dead Sea. The waters of this stream will make the salty waters of the Dead Sea fresh and pure. There will be swarms of living things wherever the water of this river flows. Are y'all hearing this scripture this morning? Jen, living things will come from this water. Living things. Your marriage will come back to life. Healing will come to your body. Come on, y'all. Your families will come to know Jesus. Your lost loved ones are coming. They're coming. Wherever this river flows, wherever this river flows. Verse 10 says, fishermen will stand along the shores of the Dead Sea, all the way from the En Gedi to Eliglim. The shores will be covered with nets drying in the sun. If this doesn't mean anything to you, then you don't know about the Dead Sea. They call it the Dead Sea for a reason. It's dead. There's nothing living in it, nothing. Not even algae. No organisms can live in the Dead Sea. It's so salty, it's so full of salt, nothing can live there. It's absolutely dead. So because it's dead, and I've taught you this before about the difference between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, but the same water that flows into the Sea of Galilee flows into the Dead Sea. The only difference between the two is that the Sea of Galilee has an outlet and the Dead Sea does not. So it hoards all the water, and so it dries up, and then the salt is left. And so what happens is nothing can live there. So there's no vacation homes on the shorelines of the Dead Sea. There are no fishermen standing on the shores. There's no reason to. There are no fish in the Dead Sea. It's completely dead. The Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, is just the opposite of that. It's full of life. 21 different species of fish, birds flying overhead, vacations, homes everywhere. Fishing industries are huge there on the Sea of Galilee. It's full of life because the water is full of life. And so this is saying that this will happen to the Dead Sea. And it will be full of fish of every kind. It will fill the Dead Sea just as it fills they fill the Mediterranean. But the marshes, now listen, but the marshes and swamps will not be purified. They will still be salty. This scripture is simply saying that this river is going to flow, and there's going to be tributaries coming off of it that will branch off. This river will flow. But even those marshes and swamps that are off of that, because they're marshes and swamps, this represents people who refuse to change, who refuse to repent, who refuse to see the life of Jesus and that refuse to give in. They've hardened their hearts, and they refuse to turn and repent. And it says that fruit trees of all kinds will grow along both sides of the river. The leaves of these trees will never turn brown or fall, and there will always be fruit on their branches. They will have a new crop every month, for they will be watered by the river flowing from this temple. The fruit will be for food, and the leaves for the healing. So I want you to notice a couple things about this. First of all, I want you to notice that this river relates to a future millennial temple in which God's Shekinah glory again dwells in this temple. So it relates to a futuristic temple, a millennial temple, where God's glory will dwell and where a river will flow from that temple. It does relate to that, okay? But it also relates to something else, and I'm going to show you that in a second. I also need you to see that this starts, like I said to you, it starts from a trickle from the temple, but it greatly increases in volume and flow the further it gets from the temple. It greatly increases. So it starts as a trickle, a stream under the door, and by the time they go a mile and a third of a mile, that's that 1,750 times 4 is 7,000 feet. 7,000, by the way, 7,000. And at that point, it's a great big river. Now, I don't know if you understand this or understand about water, because it said this in the scripture that there's nothing else feeding this river. It starts from the temple as a trickle, as a stream under the door, and nothing else is feeding this, and then all of a sudden it becomes a big river down the road. This is important for us to see. This is important for us to understand, because this is revival. This is what revival does. This is why I said to you earlier, we're looking for this big explosion. We're looking for this big rushing waves of the presence of God. But see, this starts as a trickle. It starts as a little stream coming from the temple. Not only does this represent a future temple, a millennial temple, but this represents a present temple. A right here, right now temple. You know who that is? It's us. How many of you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? You should all raise your hands, because if you're saved, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are an earthly temple. We host the presence of God. right here. Rich, right here. It's the presence of God. Right here is that river. Right? Oh, come on, let me show it to you. Let me show it to you. John 7:38 says, "He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." How many of you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that he's your Savior? Then out of your hearts flow rivers of living water, rivers of living water. This same river spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 47 is the same river that Jesus prophesied would flow out of you when you gave your heart and life to him. It's the same river that flows out of you. This river of living water flows out of you. That's why you can't keep it bottled inside. And I'm not talking about the shout right now. You need to shout. You need to get excited. You need to thank the Lord. Come on, the world needs to know that you believe in this Savior of yours. But also, we get in the habit of keeping it all inside, then we keep it inside wherever we go and whatever we do. We got to stop keeping it inside. This is a river not meant to stay inside. It's a river that needs to flow out of us. I've said this to you before, inlets and outlets. You can't just receive the word of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God. You can't just receive and never let it out. Then you'll become like the Dead Sea that keeps hogging all the water that comes in and nothing living in there. You've got to let it out just as much as it comes in, let it flow out of you. Just like the Sea of Galilee, everything you receive from the Lord, let it out. And as you let it out, living water is flowing through you. It's flowing through you. That's revival. That's revival. Everywhere it goes, everywhere that goes, everywhere you go, that stream should flow. And guess what? As that stream flows, it may start as a trickle, but it gets bigger and bigger as it flows. The farther the living water gets away from you, flows out of you, the more it touches people and the bigger impact it has. Y'all listening to this morning? Let me give you an example. I gave my heart to the Lord because he pursued me, but my mother prayed for me all the time. Day and night, night and day, she was praying for me and the rest of her children. I was a mess. You all know my testimony. I was a mess, and I needed a Savior. And so she was relentlessly going after the Lord and calling out to him to have revival in my heart. And guess what he did? One day on that turned over trash can in the hospital room, I gave my heart to Jesus once and for all. I mean, I surrendered all on that moment. And then I got up and I started trying to walk with him the best I could and follow him. But here's what's happened. Because she did that, because she refused to give up, and she was letting it out and letting it out and letting it out and letting it out like that. That river, the farther it got away from her, the farther it flowed out of her and away from her, it started impacting with a greater measure. Because you know what? Because she has two sons right now that are pastors. Me and my brother Matt, who's here on staff with us, are pastors in the church, and we have ministered to literally thousands of people. And so there are thousands of people who have had their lives touched by this river because my mother refused to keep it bottled inside. The farther it got away from her, the larger it got. That's just the way it happens. You know, this Jason, you go tell two friends about Jesus. Just go tell two friends about him with the passion that you have deep inside. Just tell two friends. Just show them everything. Show them your heart. Show them how passionate you are about being a follower of Christ. And then let them see it as you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And they see that your eyes are on the Master and that you're just lit up with the joy of the Lord. And they're like, I don't understand this. You're going through such trial. How can you be so on fire for God? How can you be so happy and full of joy? And it's that water. It's that living water flowing out of him that's touching their lives. And guess what? It will change them. For everywhere the river flows, it brings life. And then they get changed. And guess what? They're going to go tell two friends. And then they're going to, you know the story. And it's multi-level marketing at its finest. Oh, we'll go draw circles for Amway so we can make some money. Some of you don't even know what Amway is, but it was one of those one of the originals. Anybody ever draw circles for Amway before? Oh, I got a few Amway people. All right. But we'll go do it for money. It's time we stop doing it for money, start doing it for Jesus. Let the river flow. Let the river flow and let all who are thirsty come and drink. I'm just looking through this to see what, Lord, what else do you want me to share? In John chapter 4, Jesus declared that he is the living water. He declared that he is the living water. He was talking one time to a Samaritan woman at a well. And he asked her for something to drink. And she said, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but you can read it for yourself. She said, what are you doing? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. Why are you asking me for water? And Jesus made this statement to her. He said, if you knew who you were speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again. And then he gave it to her. Right? You read it. Without her even asking, he gave it to her. He started telling her about everything about her life. And he touched her life in such a powerful way that she ran into the village and she told how many people? Everybody. Come see the man who knew everything about me. She told everybody. Can you guess what happened in that town? Revival. Revival. That's revival. So, God is declaring and saying to us clearly. And I know many of you have heard this, but I'm just telling you as your leader, this is what he's telling us. Revival is here. It's here. It's not coming. It's here. It's here. It's right here. It's right here. Come on, point to yourself. Say, it's right here. It's right here.